And welcome back, hour number two. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of Meet the Candidate. Today on the show, we have Hastings, Lenox, and Addington Liberal candidate and incumbent Mike Bozzio. Mike, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show, Lauren.
You have, this hour that we have, or the time in this hour, is open for questions and answers. And, of course, open for our listeners, 613-969-1545, to call in and ask any question they want. Also, you will have 2 minutes at the end to tell us why you should be the Member of Parliament again for Hastings, Lenox, and Addington. So the way I start these things, always from the beginning, as we know, there are people that move here all the time. There are people that only tune into this show when we have candidates on to try to decide who they should vote for. So not everybody knows you, Mike. So why don't you take a minute or so and kind of introduce yourself?
Sure, happy to. I grew up in the area, in Madoc. Then I went to Toronto to go to school and start my career. Came back 25 years ago. I live in the beautiful hamlet of Lonsdale, where we raised our two children, Luke and Haley. My wife and I should say, Irene, my wonderful wife, Irene, who still puts up with me after 32 years.
And harder now that you're an MP.
No kidding, that's for sure. God bless her. And I was a high-tech recruiter for almost 35 years before I did this. I did work all over the world from the little hamlet of Lonsdale. It is incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah,
it really is. I've been an environmentalist my whole life, starting with the first apartment building I lived in Toronto. We got the first recycling program in Toronto back in 81. Then I spent, I was on municipal council in Tynanega Township in the late 90s, where we started a battle against the world's largest waste company, Waste Management, to stop them from building a 200-acre mega dump on fractured limestone that was going to pose a risk to our local community's water. I've been successful, but it's still ongoing. 21 years later, we're still fighting this mega dump.
Isn't
it? It's incredible. It really is.
Let me ask you, while we're talking about this, and of course, this is the first, I think, major federal election where one of the top three topics or election issues will be the environment. It's always, the past few elections, it's been in the top 10, but now it is in the top three for people. And we talk about things like just throwing garbage into a hole where it's, you know, as you mentioned, fractured limestone, that stuff is going to leach into the water table without a doubt.
You got it. And do so for 300 years.
Why then have the Liberals, the government, the mm-hmm. Trudeau government, not worked with the provincial governments and municipalities to come up with more incineration plants like they have in Durham, for example? And so this would become a moot point and all their stuff goes in and helps produce energy.
No, actually, the issue is not incineration. We don't want to go to incineration.
We don't.
No, because we're running out of certain minerals, and the last thing you want to do is burn them, right? And unfortunately, most incineration facilities love recyclables, right? So really, once again, we always have to go back to the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle, right? And everybody defaults to recycle. And what I'd actually like to see happen is a change to reduce, repair, reuse, upcycle. So that when people are thinking about when they're designing their products, they're actually thinking of the next life for that product and not just throwing it away. And it's possible. There are many, many companies that are now viewing it from this standpoint.
But also, I think when it comes, and some simple things to do, what's old is new again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, for example, why are we still drinking out of plastic Coke bottles? When we were kids, we all drank out of glass bottles, and we brought them back to the store, and they wash them out and fill them with Coke again, right?
Exactly.
And the only new thing was a bottle cap.
You got it.
So why does
and
that...
it was a metal bottle cap.
Yeah, sure, sure. So, right. But why... Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. A wood one wouldn't have been that good. So why aren't we doing more so? When I go to Europe or you know, places like that, they still have glass bottles.
They do.
You know, we used to drink milk out of glass bottles. Things like that. And, you know, those can be crushed up when they're done and a million things melted down.
But that's, I mean, you raise a great point. The last study we actually did, and I would encourage everyone to go to the Environment Committee's site and look at the last study we did on plastics. It was covering these exact issues. Our government actually did come out with a commitment to ban single-use plastics, a number of single-use in the next over the next few years.
Well, birthday party balloon holders and stuff. Yeah, I guess, but you have to start small.
And you have to start with the most offensive, right? And you know, plastic bags, plastic bottle tops, cigarette butts. All these things are plastic. Mm-hmm. This is what we're actually finding in the environment. And I don't think most Canadians realize that on an annual basis, we consume on an average 160,000 particles of plastic, of microplastics. They're everywhere.
There's a story today about tea bags.
Yeah, I heard that. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. Billions of particles of plastic in a tea bag.
So my theory is if we left the earth, humanity, the earth is fine. Because the animals will do what the animals will do, and the plants will do what the plants will do. You know, we had this incredible young woman in the United Nations yesterday talking about, you know, the environment and things like that. And this is a very heavily sided issue, which I don't understand why. My thought is there can be people on the super one side of it and on the super other side of it. But most of us should be somewhere in the middle, realizing that the world is changing for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. But it is. And we got to figure out how to mitigate this change. And we have to do it responsibly, because and that's where the government falls into position. Since the 90s. Canada hasn't met its targets for reduction of greenhouse gases or any of that kind of stuff. So it's lip service. This stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, and with respect, is going to fall on our people and not on our governments. And I think the government's job is to do what they can, but to try to educate the people on ways to make our whole country a bit green. Government buildings obviously can be much more efficient. That's up to you guys. Government vehicles on all three levels can be much more efficient, super clean, whatever you want to do it. Public transportation, much more efficient. Just today, they were announcing changing maybe the Up Express and turning it into an electric line.
Mm-hmm.
All those kind of things, much helpful. Airlines, I know, are coming out with much more efficient engines for their planes, things like that.
But even on that front, I mean, Canada, so our government has done an incredible amount. Once again, I encourage people to go to the Environment Committee site, because we did three studies on climate change. The last study being on international leadership, and we had experts from all over coming in saying that for the first time, Canada has a real plan to deal with climate change. And they're actually looking at us because we have over 50 measures, investing $70 billion, including the most important measure, a price on pollution, and rebating that money back up front to citizens. And what they're saying is that because we're taking this holistic approach to dealing with climate change, it makes a lot more sense. A lot of countries around the world are looking to what we're doing to say, we think you finally found that balance of regulations, investments in innovation, investments in public transit, investments in infrastructure, clean emission standards. You know, so all of these things coming together, they feel are going to actually, we're not just going to meet, we're going to exceed our targets.
How do you make it that so it's not on a federal level on the backs of the average person? Because everything is becoming so expensive. So when the price of gasoline goes up, for example, mm-hmm. the price of our food goes up. When the price of this goes up, the price of our food goes up. Or the price of whatever goes up, you know?
And that's why it's so important, the approach that we've taken with the price on pollution and rebating it back in return. The Parliamentary Budget Officer was very clear. He did a full study, not just on the 4 cents on a liter of gasoline, but the overall impact in the economy and the cost to everyday consumers as a result of that, as it percolates its way through the economy. And they found that 8 out of 10 Canadians will benefit more from the rebate than what they're paying out on a price on pollution. Right? Okay. So that's what's so important, because you don't want to impact the most vulnerable within our society. I mean, let's face it, as a government, that is what we have been very focused on, is low and middle income Canadians and putting more money in their pockets, because we know when we do that, they spend it, and they spend it locally. Right. So it benefits them and it benefits our local economies. And we see that every day. I mean, I've knocked on gosh, as a team, we've knocked on over 33,000 doors mm-hmm. in this election.
Who's counting right? that?
We have a count. We have a
really?
It's all yeah, it's all election.
I'm not denying that.
We have a system called Minivan and Liberalist that actually take care cool. encompasses all of this data that we collect because it's a very data driven campaign and it has been now for a number of elections. And so when we're knocking on those doors, I'm seeing that difference that we're making in people's lives, and that's what drives me.
Okay.
That's what energizes.
I want to get to a couple issues before we get to our phone calls, if I can. This is becoming a dirty campaign. Last week, a bad week for the prime minister. International news, and I'm talking about, which is now known as the Black/Brownface scandal or Brownface/Blackface scandal. At least three times, the prime minister has appeared in blackface. I've said this on the show 100 million times. I'll say it again. I do not believe the Justin Trudeau is racist. I think he's far from that. But I question his judgment, and I understand. And I've said this also just to let you know that until we put ourselves into the body of a person of color, we don't know how offensive this might be. Having said that, I don't think that he realized what he was doing. I want to just get your overall thoughts on that, because I think the country has accepted his, hopefully, listen, members of the Conservative Party are not going to accept his apology, or they're not going to move on. He had a conversation yesterday with Jagmeet Singh, leader of the NDP. Obviously, this is bad for the Liberals. How should this party move on? I want to get your personal thoughts. And this is I'm going to give you a little inside baseball here. This is how you answer this question is what people really want to know. And I will point out that Mike does not have a book in front of him today, like some candidates. He is just speaking from how he speaks. And when we're on the local level, I think politicians, people really want to know what politicians think about, because there is a huge difference between what you do and what the prime minister does. And so I want to get your thoughts. I mean, this guy appeared when he was younger, but still did appear. He was a teacher, 30 years old. Everybody knows he should have known better. So what are your thoughts on this?
It was disappointing. And I'm really happy to see that he apologized immediately, owned it. And I think that, as you said, most Canadians accept that. I accept that. I think back to my own youth. We make mistakes.
Have you ever dressed in blackface?
I've only ever dressed up once for a Halloween party. And it was as a bag lady, and that wouldn't be acceptable today either, right?
Because as a
once
homeless
again,
person,
yeah, right.
I remember,
and it was,
yeah,
and it
people
was,
used to dress up as hobos and
exactly,
things like that, yeah.
Right? And that today, I mean, and I apologize to anyone out there that would be offended by that as well. That was a mistake. At the time, young, you make mistakes. It's what you do with those mistakes. It's what you learn from them, right? And I think if you look at our prime minister, as you have rightly said, he's not racist. He's if anything, he's been a very inclusionary prime minister. He wants to include.
But that's
individuals.
The problem.
He wants to defend the
this
rights
has embarrassed
of
us
Canadians.
On the world stage because of all that stuff.
But once again, and that's why he owned it and apologized for it and said, we need to learn from these lessons. And for me, that's what I've done my whole life. I've made many mistakes in my life. And I'd like to think that I've learned from them. And that's what's informed who I am today. If we don't make mistakes, then we don't learn from those mistakes. And I think what's important is to recognize when you make a mistake, own it, apologize for it, but more importantly, not just through your words, but through your actions, as a responsible citizen, period. Whether you're a prime minister or any citizen, we need to recognize, that these actions are not acceptable, and we need to do everything humanly possible to include as many people within our society on an equal level.
Mike, people are calling Prime Minister Trudeau a hypocrite for the way he's reacted to this, because if it was anybody else from any other party, he would have come down heavily on this because of his stance on racism and race. Do you think the Prime Minister acted hypocritical?
I think that the prime minister was authentic in his apology. And I think once again, his actions as a prime minister speak for the lessons he's learned from the past.
Let's move on. Earlier on the show, the mayor of Belleville, who I met with all the mayors in the region to talk about water levels. And it's going to be up to the federal government to say, hey, listen, we need to do something about the water levels on Lake Ontario and the Great Lakes in general. What is your position on this, and why doesn't the Prime Minister get together with the a phone call with the President of the United States and then tell them that, hey, this 2014 is not working. We need to go back to the way it worked before.
So I've met with a lot of constituents about this. My riding, as you know, borders on Lake Ontario.
Sure.
And I've met and I've looked into this a lot through the IJC, the commission, and seen what they've what information they're putting out, and read through Plan 2014 and tried to wrap my head around it. Let's face it, we've had two 100-year weather events in 2017 and 2019. The whole of Eastern Canada is inundated with water. Water levels are high everywhere in the lakes and the basins. Because of that, they've been releasing the water as quickly as they absolutely can, 10,422 meters per second. This is the highest level of release they've had in the history of the plan that goes back to 1954 originally. But at the same time, I recognize the difficulties that our residents have. And in speaking with them, they feel that navigation has been the chief concern when they were going through the consultations in Plan 2014. I wasn't there, so I don't know what those consultations were and the level of consultation that occurred. So I've requested, and I believe my counterpart Neil has as well, we've both requested that the Minister of Global Affairs and the Minister of Transport review Plan 2014 to ensure that it is meeting the expectations that went into designing it in the first place, in that it's taking into account these weather events that we're experiencing more frequently, because that's what's important, right? Is we need to, if it isn't meeting that, if the evidence doesn't show, that it is mitigating these impacts as quickly as possible, then we need to find other solutions to it. We as a government, as you know, have committed to $20 billion to climate resiliency and mitigation and adaptation. So that needs to be a part of the solution as well. Because this is we're seeing this more and more, right? I mean, all through the riding up in Hastings Highlands, 21 roads were washed out this spring. I was visiting people's homes up there where the water was 6 feet, 8 feet up on their homes. I saw trailers that were underwater, that people live in. And so it's devastated the whole of Eastern Canada. It's not just Lake Ontario, but we need to ensure that Plan 14 isn't making 2014 is making things worse as a result of the plan. If it's a case that it is pure weather events, then we need to find other solutions to adapt to the changing weather patterns that we're seeing.
10:26 is the time. Mike Bozzio is in studio. He is the candidate in Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. He is the Liberal candidate, and he is the incumbent member of Parliament. We'll take a break. When we come back, our phones are lighting up. There's room for you. 613-969-1545. Toll free, 1-866-969-1546. Those are the phone numbers for the questions you have for the Liberal candidate in one of the ridings.